Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
All right, Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to begin. Entitled the message, Peace on Earth. It kind of sounds a little Christmassy, doesn't it? But it does tie in with, well, an alternative title for it is Lessons from a Boat. How many like being out on a boat? Did you know Jesus liked boats? And he even liked fishing. So if you like fishing, you and Jesus will get along real well. All right. We're going to begin in verse 21 of chapter 8. Verse 23 of chapter 8. We've been working our way through the book of Matthew. After the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, which takes three chapters, you get to chapter 8, and Jesus leaves that area of Jerusalem and he heads up north to the Sea of Galilee area. And so all that is going to take the next couple stories we're going to look at here. Accounts of what the ministry of Jesus are going to take place around the Sea of Galilee. So that's where the boat part comes in, as they traveled the countryside and went from city to city and town to town. It amazes me, just as you read through this, that Paul would focus a lot of his ministry on the big areas, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica. He hit the big towns. But Jesus, he did spend some time in Jerusalem and some of the other places, but a lot of his ministry was in the countryside, okay? Places like Crete, maybe even smaller. That's where he invested a lot of his ministry. The crowds still found him there, but he did a lot of his ministry there. In fact, the feeding of the 5,000 was such a remote place that there was no Burger King, there was no McDonald's, there was nothing, right? They had to... The 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? Multiply it and feed the crowds that was there. So it was such a remote place that Jesus found him. So we're going to pick up in verse 23, peace on earth. Just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would speak it, life into it, into our hearts, into our lives. Lord, it is your word. We just pray it is your living word that speaks and guides us. We give you the thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 23, it says, then Jesus got into the boat. And his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. So I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, but I've looked at maps. So that's on my bucket list, is get there. But if you look at maps, and from those that have been there, the Sea of Galilee is in a valley. Okay, you got hills on the west, you got hills on the east, but there's a notch on that northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee that if the wind is blowing right, it comes right through that crack. And it can hit the lake, and a storm can come up just without a moment's notice. That seems to be the case here. They get into the boat. They're going across the lake. It is 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, so there's some size to this lake. And it's a furious storm that came upon the lake. The waves swept over the boat, coming over the sides, and Jesus was... He's sleeping, man. Kind of just, whoo... He's sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Isn't that amazing? Now think about this. This storm was of such magnitude that some of the disciples were, what were they previously before they started following Jesus? Fishermen. Do you think they'd been in one or two storms before? Probably. So this storm was of such magnitude that it has them freaked out a little bit, right? They think they're going to die. And so they, I don't know if they draw straws to see who's going to wake up Jesus. I don't know what. It's kind of like, who's going to wake him up? Are you going to wake him up? Or, you know, somebody woke him up. It doesn't say who it was. Maybe it was Matthew because he doesn't include it, right? But somebody wakes him up, or they all did together. But they wake him up. And instead of Jesus saying, oh yeah, we have a storm out there, we better get out of here, he rebukes them, right? Why? Because of their faith, their little faith. And as I mentioned last week, the classroom for Jesus was out and about. It was sometimes on a lake, it was sometimes out in a countryside, but it was out and about. And that is where they learned. And it was often these teachable moments where that he was able to speak into them and say, hey, your faith needs to grow. It needs to be expanded. And they were amazed. They were amazed that as Jesus spoke to the wind, the waves subsided, and they quit. Was this storm, were they in this storm because they were in the will of God or out of the will of God? In the will of God. You know, most of the time we think that the storms of life are because maybe I did something wrong or I'm out of the will of God. But there's a couple storms within the life and ministry of Jesus that are totally of the will of God. Another time he's going to send them out after the feeding 5,000. He sends them out onto the lake. He stays on shore. John the Baptist has been beheaded and killed. I think he's mourning. He's exhausted from ministry. But he sends them off on their own in the middle of the night, and another storm comes up. They weren't in that storm because they were out of the will of God. They were in the storm because they were in the will of God. And I think that's an important point to catch, is that sometimes God has us in the middle of the storm, not because we've done anything wrong, not because he hates us, but because he wants it to be a teachable moment that we can grow and stretch our faith. Amen? We need that perspective, because sometimes we look at it and we go, God, why don't you love me? Why am I in the storm? Why are the waves coming over the top? Why am I afraid? All right? The first principle we want to catch is that Jesus brings peace in the storms of our life. Jesus brings peace in the storms of our life. And see, the only way that we can know that is if we go through a few storms with Jesus in the boat. You'll never, that's a great truth, but you'll never know that Jesus brings peace in the middle of the storm unless you go through a few storms with him in your boat. And find out, you know what? Yeah, there was a few waves that came in, but we didn't sink. The boat didn't break up and fall apart. We're still here. God took us through this. That's how our faith is strengthened. That's how our faith grows. But you have to go through the storm with Jesus in the boat. Amen? You know, there are storms of our own making. We make stupid decisions. We do stupid things, right? I know none of you are ever guilty of that. I think God is with us in those storms too. But in our situation here that we're looking at this morning, they were in this storm because they were in the will of God. They were with Jesus and he was in the boat. And it seems like the storm served so that they could get this point home, that Jesus can bring peace in the middle of your storm. Not only in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when you're with him in the boat, but he can bring this peace to the storms that are in your home, your family, at work. He can bring peace in the middle of those storms. Amen? I've been through a few storms. I've grew up in North Dakota, Nebraska. You said tornadoes, I've seen, you know, a few of them. I've never had one really close, but used to that. I went to Jamaica, my first time really getting out. It was my first overseas trip, I think, going to Jamaica, wasn't it? I think so. I've flown, yeah. It was my first time that kind of over water, I think, going to Jamaica. It was back in 2005, right before coming to Crete. It was that summer. That summer, we were actually, when I landed and got back, we came up here to look at our house. But so my first time in Jamaica, I go there to teach a two-week class. A weekend, it gets to the end of the week, and guess what comes? It's in July, but guess what comes? A hurricane. Hurricane Dennis, which was a pretty major storm. It was a very major hurricane. It's barreling right at Jamaica. It's kind of like, you know, I can handle tornadoes. You go in the cellar, you know, you go in the basement. This is a hurricane. And you're on an island. Where are you going to go on an island? You can't run, right? You're stuck. They fly the planes off the island. You're stuck, you know? You can't go anywhere, so we're taping up the windows. We're doing all that. I even taught in the middle of it. It's just pounding rain. The students had to move their desks so they could avoid the leaks in the roof. And I had to stand in the middle of them because the tin roof had just made too much noise. So I figured, wow, survived my first hurricane. There was a lot of water damage, really not much wind damage. It came right towards the island, and then it went north and hit Cuba. So, and then I think it went up and grazed Florida. So I thought, wow, I experienced my first hurricane. So then I teach the second week, about ready to go, and guess what? Hurricane Emily decides that she's going to follow in the tracks of Dennis. And so now she comes. I'm supposed to fly out on Saturday. I get to Kingston and plans to get out of there, but Hurricane Emily has other plans, and so Hurricane Emily comes in. So I find myself staying with some people. Their son and daughter-in-law lived in Springfield, where we were at that time, and they were part of our Sunday school class. And so we had that connection, and so I ended up spending that next day with their family in Jamaica. That was their homeland. And you know what? It just pounded rain that day. Emily came on the south side of the island. Dennis went on the north side. So it just ended up, missed the island, just went on that southern coast of Jamaica. They didn't get any wind damage there again. They just got a ton of rain. But I remember that day that I felt out of control. What am I going to do? I'm in a different country, right? It's not like I'm home and I have a little bit of control and power. I'm kind of out there on my own and very dependent upon the people that I'm with. But you know what? That Saturday, instead of flying home, I was just on their outside porch. It was just pounding rain. And I just sat there with my Bible and listened to music and read my Bible, read some books. And God, it was just a refreshing day, honestly, that God brought peace in the middle of the storm. I was having all these anxious feelings. But God brought peace in the middle of that storm. And it was just a good reminder that God is with us. You know, and even the lady, you know, she was a grandma, but she went out and she went to their backyard and picked out some fresh oranges and mangoes and stuff, made me a good fruit smoothie, you know. Right? You know, how can you have anything better, right? And I was taken good care of. But in the middle of the storm, I believe that God wants to be with us in those storms of life. And sometimes he's going to allow you to go through a few storms. Why? So that you know that he can bring peace in the middle of your storm. All right? He is able to do that. He's able to speak to the winds and the waves, and they obey him. And he can bring peace in the middle of your storm. Let's look at the second thing. There's another account. They get into the boat, and they head off to another place. So in verse 28, it says, when they arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came from the tombs that met them, okay? Walking dead, right? Right? I don't know what they look like, but they were demon-possessed. They were so fearful that the Gospel of Mark says that they chained them. The people of the community tried chaining them, and they broke the chains, right? Okay, so there was some strength there. There was definitely some demonic influence there. These men were tormented. Mark and Luke only record one man, so it seems that one of them was more outspoken, that caught their attention. Matthew includes both of them. When coming from the tombs, so they come from the tombs, you know, we have scary movies. Where do they always take place at? Graveyards, right? Yeah. Yeah, so these guys came right out of there, right? It'd make a great movie, all right? So they were so violent that no one could pass by that way. There was do not pass there. What do you want with us, Son of God, they announced. They recognized that Jesus, these demonic spirits recognized who Jesus was. That's kind of amazing. Have you come to torture us before the appointed time? See, they even know that there's going to be time that they're going to be judged. I think demons believe more than sometimes unsaved people do. Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And Mark says there was about 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. Then he said to them, go. So they came out of the men, went into the pigs. Just think, all these demons were residing in two men. Isn't that incredible? In fact, Mark says that their name was Legion. And so they came out, they rushed into the pigs, and the whole herd of pigs ran off a steep bank into the lake and died in the water. I don't know where they went from there. And those tending the pigs ran off, went into town, reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to what? Leave. Wow, why did they do that? They were kind of freaked out at what they had seen, right? Because not only did Jesus have power and authority over the winds and the waves, but now he has power over demonic things, over evil, isn't it? And I'm just amazed that these men were such a bad case. They were so demon-possessed and had such control and power over them that they couldn't be bound, they couldn't be subdued. They were difficult. What would we do in our society? We would put them in a facility and we would drug them, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? Do our best to control them. It wouldn't deal with their problem. But Jesus speaks to them and the demons leave. Mark tells us that this man was clean. The next day he was clean and dressed in his right mind. It's kind of like people were just looking at him. Man, he was shaved. He was clean. Kind of like he was a whole different person. Why? Because now the peace of God had come into his heart and his life. There was peace there. The second principle is that Jesus brings peace in the presence of evil. These men that were tormented now had peace of mind. You know, most of the movies portray good and evil, right? Whether it's bad character, good character, right? So you have the Westerns, you always have the good and the bad. You know, in the Avenger movie that's out there, you have good and the bad. You had the Lord of the Rings, I remember the portrayal of, there's that very vivid of good and bad, good and evil, right? And that exists in our world. And Scripture tells us that there is a devil and that there are demons, okay? There is an evil presence out there. I'm not going to deny that. They are very real. And these demons tormented these two men. Their life was horrible. It controlled them. It dominated who they were. You know, and often I've asked people to pray for them because they sense evil in their home or they have evil dreams that are fearful. They just sense an evil presence. Often have prayed for people. Evil is real, but there's good news because Jesus has authority over evil spirit, even including Satan. Amen? He has authority. And there again, sometimes you don't want to experience evil. But when you experience evil, you ever been someplace you just went and whether it was a person or just where you were at, you just sensed that presence of evil? Yeah. You know, it'd be nice, God, I don't want that. But you know what? Or maybe you're just at night and all of a sudden just this sense of fear comes over you. Ever had that? I've had that. Sense of fear, just of evil or just a fear. That's an evil presence. But you know what, God, we don't have to be fearful because God has given us his peace and he has authority over evil, over Satan himself, over every demonic spirit. You know, the community did their best to try to subdue these men, but it failed. It was only through Jesus that these men were saved and delivered. Mark tells us that, the Gospel of Mark, that one of the men pleaded with Jesus, saying he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be a follower, disciple of Jesus. And Jesus said, no. He says, I want you to go back, and I want you to tell everyone you meet what Jesus has done for you. And he agreed to that. He went back and he told people his story of what Jesus had done for them. What a wonderful testimony, amen, of what God had done. Only Jesus has the authority and the power to bring peace in the presence of evil. That should bring peace to your heart. And it should challenge each of us to be a vessel that God can extend his mercy and his grace through in the world that we live in. There's one more account that I want us to look at, chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Jesus steps into the boat again. This time they cross over and they came to his hometown, his own town, Nazareth. Some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. So here again, Mark has a different account that he is brought by four men on a mat, and the house is so full where Jesus is speaking that they can't get in there. So what do? They take the man to the roof, open up the roof. How would you like that if you owned the home? They make a hole in the roof and they lower him down through the roof in front of Jesus, right? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. Why did he say that? At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Why is he blaspheming? Because only who can forgive sins? God. So by saying your sins are forgiven, Jesus was saying, I'm God, right? I'm divine. I'm not just a human being. Now, you can maybe get away with that when you're in Jerusalem or you're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but when you're in your hometown, they saw you grow up as a boy, right? They saw your humanness, and now they see the humanness of Jesus. Now he claims that he can forgive sins. They see that as blasphemy. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up, walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. The man got up, went home, and when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men." Isn't that a great story? It's amazing that we've, last couple weeks, we talked about just faith being that crucial part of healing. Sometimes it's the faith of the individual. Sometimes it's the faith of another individual. In this case, it's the faith of a man's friends that bring him to Jesus. Their faith, Jesus recognizes, and the man's healed. He's paralyzed. Paralyzed. He can't walk. He can't do anything for himself, but he leaves. He rolls up his mat and he leaves. It's an incredible miracle that Jesus did. But you know what? Jesus doesn't say, send him away saying, hey, you're healed. He says, go away, your sins are forgiven. See, I think there was a greater... Can you get into heaven being paralyzed? Yeah? Can you get into heaven without your sins forgiven? No. And so, while this man needed to be healed in his body, he needed a greater healing, and that was the healing of his soul and his spirit. He had to be reconciled with God. That was the greater issue. That was the greater need. And so Jesus does a double healing that day, right? Not only does he heal the man of his issues that are causing him to be paralyzed, but Jesus heals him in his heart and his soul. His sins are forgiven. He leaves having peace with God. Amen? And so the third principle is that Jesus brings peace to our hearts. Jesus brings peace to our hearts, to our conscience. This man left, not only was able to walk and take his mat home, but he also left knowing that his sins have been forgiven. Whew. Now, we don't know what his sickness, maybe his sickness was just random, right? But sometimes sickness and disease is a result of sin. It says that in Scripture. Now, you know, I've been part of that where somebody gets sick and they kind of look at you, oh, what sin did you commit? That comes up in Scripture. That you read through the Gospels and some people say, who sinned? Your father or you, you know? Sin can cause sickness and disease. So we don't know if that was the case here or not. All we know is that Jesus extends to him forgiveness. He is reconciled with God and he is healed in his body. He did not have the hope that came from knowing his sins were forgiven, that he had peace with God. You know, the Pharisees were right. Only God can offer forgiveness of sins and peace with God. And by healing that man that day, Jesus confirmed that he was the Son of God and he had authority not only heal, but also to forgive sin. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come forward. These are some great truths, folks. Jesus can bring peace in your storm. I wish that God would save us from every storm in life. I don't like being in those storms. But it's in the storms that you grow, right? I've been on a few lakes with white caps being pounded to death. I've been in that type of storm, but to me, the more fearful storms are the ones that we go through in our own heart and our own mind. When things are happening in our family or things are happening at work, things that are happening that are out of our control, the health issue, we get that report. Jesus is the peace in our storm, amen? And he is willing, he is able to take us through those things. But Jesus also supplies peace in the face of evil. And there's times that you're going to feel the presence of evil and it's going to be very real. And you may be doing the will of God. Maybe you're doing ministry. Evil manifests itself. A demonic spirit. Wow. You going to run? Oh, where's Pastor Brent, right? Thanks. What are you going to do? That could happen to any of us. We could be ministering to somebody and the demonic manifests itself. Has Jesus given you authority in that situation? He has. And see, some of you could be fearful of that. But see, you, until you've walked in the authority that God has given us, that He's extended to us, our faith will never be stretched to that limit. So if God puts you in that place, He's stretching your faith. Amen? He loves you that much. Amen? Jesus has the power and authority to heal our relationship with God. We had communion. And we can look at all the miracles that Jesus did. He raised the dead. He healed the sight of the blind. He healed the paralytic. He did all these miracles. But the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did or accomplished was when He went to the cross for us and healed our relationship with God. That's the most powerful miracle. In heaven, there's not going to be any more sickness, pain. There's not going to be any of that. But you know what? You can't get to heaven unless you've been healed in your soul and your spirit, and your sins have been forgiven. Amen? I want to close this in a prayer. I'm going to have those in help out with prayer this morning if you come. I want to lead us in a prayer of salvation again. Just that's heavy on my heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I don't want anybody just to leave this place without knowing that assurance that you're leaving today, and you know that, like that man that picked up his mat and walked, that he knew that his sins were forgiven. I don't want anybody leaving this morning not knowing that your sins are not forgiven this morning. But if you, maybe you're going through a storm in life, and you just want us to agree with you in prayer this morning, I encourage you to come forward. Maybe you're dealing with just these evil dreams and things like that. That's very common. I get that a lot. We agree with you in prayer. God has not called us to be tormented by evil, folks. Demons, evil spirits are real. But God has given us authority over those things. So we want to agree with you in prayer. Maybe you need healing in body this morning. Maybe you just need that relationship with God healed this morning. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you for the authority that is in your name. Lord God, you demonstrated that. And even with the disciples, Lord God, you put them in situations to stretch their faith, to realize the authority that comes through you. And Lord God, you're going to place us into circumstances, whether it's storms or just things that stretch our faith, not to destroy us, but to stretch our faith and to understand the authority that is ours through Christ Jesus, that you've extended to us through Jesus. And Lord God, this morning we just, if there's anybody here that needs to just know that their sins are forgiven, Lord God, it's just the simple prayer of saying, God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior. It's an easy prayer, but Lord, it's hard for us to walk it out because that Lordship part is hard. So it's an easy, and there's a cost to being a disciple of Christ, but it's worth it. But Lord, we can pray that prayer and we can be right. We can leave knowing that our sins are forgiven this morning. And if that's us, Lord, I pray that each one that has prayed that prayer makes their way forward and we can just pray with them this morning. Lord, in other needs and requests, Father, maybe there's some here that, Lord, we're just going through a storm in our life right now. The water's coming over the boat. We don't know if we're going to make it to the other side. There's fear in our heart. It could be over health issues. It could be over relationship issues. It could be work issues, Lord God, but there's fear there. And Lord, the word I believe that you want to speak to us today is that we're going to make it to the other side. Because you're in the boat. As long as you're in the boat, there's no storm that we can't go through if you're in our boat. And if you're along for the ride, you're in our boat, Lord God, there's no storm that we can't weather. So we invite you into our boat this morning. And Lord God, I pray just for healing of body, soul, and mind this morning. We need that, Lord God. It begins with knowing that we're right with you, but then your healing flows to other parts, Lord. Father, we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to close with that chorus. Make your way forward this morning. And just, would you stand? And let's just worship God in these moments that we have as we close this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we just praise and worship you. Father, this morning we just we thank you for your word. Lord God, we invite you into our boats this week. Lord God, I just I pray that you go with us in your peace. That was the greeting of the New Testament church, grace and peace to you. And Lord God, there's a lot of different levels that we can experience your peace. We covered a few of them this morning. I pray that you would bring peace into our homes, into our families, into our lives, Lord God. Peace with you and peace in the activities of life. And Lord God, when the waves get a little rough, may we be assured that you're on our boat and that it's going to be okay. Stretch our faith, strengthen our faith, Lord God. God, we pray. And Lord God, we just ask a special blessing upon our moms here today. Being a mom and walking in that role as a motherhood, Lord, is it stretches us. A lot of sacrificial love and commitment that goes forth in that. And Lord God, I just pray for all our moms here that you would strengthen them, encourage them. Such an important role. It's a vital role, Lord God. And so, Lord God, I just pray that each mom feels encouraged this morning. Is reminded of the crucial role that they play. To be diligent in it. To seek your strength and your power when theirs is not enough. And Lord God, just realize that God has given us no greater role in life than to be a mom, be a dad. And Lord, we give you the thanks this day. Go with us. Bless our gatherings. Bless our fellowship this week. Bless our encounters with people in this in our communities, at work, at school, in all that we do. Father, let the light of Christ shine in our life. We give you the thanks. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As you leave, greet each other. Say, may God's peace be with you.